Today on More to Life, a little help? Struggling to help someone you care about? Let us help you make sure your help is helpful. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, a little help? Are you struggling to help someone you care about? We want to help you make sure your help is, well, helpful. So give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, helpful to the other person and helpful to you in a way that helps you not go crazy trying to help them and hitting your head against a brick wall while you do. Let's get rid of that brick wall. Let's help you figure out how to be actually helpful to other people while not aggravating yourself in doing so, because that's the really difficult part. It's one thing if you're just struggling with helping somebody. They're not really taking your help. It's hard for you to watch them suffer. It's another thing where you're doing all the work in your brain as well as with your body, and you can't sleep at night. It's driving you crazy. You're giving all this energy to it, and you just don't know what to do anymore. Let's help you with all of that today on More to Life. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Is there somebody in your life that you care about and you're trying to help them, but it's just not working out? You know, maybe they deny that there's a problem. They're even telling you you're crazy for thinking that there's a problem. You know, maybe they do listen, but they just don't change. Or maybe they get angry at you or shut you out altogether. What do we do then? You know, it's bad enough when somebody's actions are hurt, we think are hurtful to them. But when their actions are hurtful to us and they're refusing to change, that has another layer of complication. So we're going to talk about, you know, how can we be helpful to the people that we care about in ways that, well, are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, I obviously am a professional helper, right? That's my job. But that doesn't mean that I don't sometimes step in it in my own personal life as well. And I remember, it was years ago now, but I was trying to help a friend of mine who was going through a rough time. And, you know, after several conversations with this person about this issue, you know, he finally said to me, "Greg, you're making me feel like a project." And I felt awful when he said that. I was glad he told me, because that certainly wasn't my intention, you know, but I really had a lot of compassion for what he was going through. And so I kind of really sort of zeroed in on what the issues were, and I was trying to talk him through things and whatever. But I was making his problem the focus of our relationship, and
rather than him as a human being,
yeah,
a child of God.
Yeah. And I, you know, my intentions were good, but you know, there you go. And I think it happens to all of us where we want to try to be there for another person, but sometimes the way we're choosing to be there for them just isn't landing the way we thought it would. And so what do you do? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
And it's really about discerning it as well, right? Because when God puts a person and that person's burdens in our lives, as people who love God and want to serve God, each and every one of our listeners is that person. You think, okay, this is what God has given me to do. Sometimes it can be a little bit metaphorically like St. Francis of Assisi, right? Where he loved God so much. He desired to serve God so much. And God says to him, Francis, rebuild my church. And he starts picking up stones and rebuilding this stone church that he's in front of. And he builds the Portiuncula, and he starts building all these little churches all over the place. And God's like, that's not what I meant. I need you to rebuild the church with the way I'm teaching you to live and how you're supposed to reach out to people. But we think when somebody and their problems are presented to us, we're just out of the gate like a racehorse. We are going to help, and we're going to do it in this way. And we often don't take the time to really discern what God wants us to do in the situation, or even what that person wants us to do in the situation. In other words, it can be complicated and exhausting. So let's carry some of that exhaustion off of your shoulders today and help you help in a way that's actually helpful. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you know, you might be wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me make sure that my help is helpful? Well, I'm glad you asked. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a really big question. Basically, he said, you know, if we look at everything God's given us, you know, creation, salvation history, scripture, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that loving someone means more than doing nice things for them. It means working for their ultimate good, really helping them become the person God made them to be. St. John Paul II wrote in his book Love and Responsibility that everything we say and do should bring out the best in others.
And that's a really important point, you know, because sometimes we think being helpful means doing something, right? Fixing problems, giving advice, stepping in. And we tend to tell ourselves that we're being helpful even when our efforts aren't producing good fruit. But, you know, as my friend reminded me, people aren't projects, right? They're not fixer-uppers waiting for our renovation plan. And when we treat them that way, even accidentally, we do stop seeing them as persons. You know, true love respects the other person's freedom and dignity.
Exactly. And when our efforts to help don't seem to be helping, that's usually a sign that we need to step back and ask, Lord, how do you want me to love this person? The goal isn't to check a box or say, at least I did something. It's to cooperate with God's plan for the other person's healing and growth.
You know, when our efforts to be actively helpful don't work, sometimes the most loving thing we can do is set a boundary, you know, especially when somebody's choices are hurting us or others, because effective boundaries are an invitation to repentance.
So sometimes, as long as we feel safe doing this, helping someone is about being patient, accompanying them gently, giving them room to struggle, and trusting God to guide you both.
Real help flows from prayerful discernment about the best way to bring out the best in another person. And that begins with checking our impulse to love others in ways that come naturally to us, and instead letting God teach us how to love in ways that really heal. But that's not always obvious or easy. So let's talk it out together and find ways to make sure that the help you're offering the people you care about is actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled, A Little Help, as we talk about those times when we're struggling to help someone we care about. We want to make sure that our help is actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence and we bring to you all the people that we care about who we'd like to be helpful to in some way, but are struggling to know how to help in ways that will actually be received well and produce good fruit. Help us, instead of getting frustrated and giving up, to step back and to really ask you to teach us how you want us to respond to that person, whether this is a time for actively helping and talking, or if this is a time for stepping back and being patient and giving that person the opportunity to struggle and seek on their own, or if this is a time to set boundaries that call that person to repentance. But whatever we do, let it be informed by a genuine desire to love them as you would have us love them, and with an eye toward what would produce the best fruit in this situation. Help us to avoid the challenge of the temptation, rather, to just do something, to feel like we did something, or to just be nice and kind because that seems like the only thing to do. But really choose our actions and words with the intention of doing good and bringing out the best in the other person. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled A Little Help, as we talk about the challenge that we have when we're trying to help somebody and it's not working out the way we hoped. You know, are you trying to help someone you care about, but it's just not working out? You know, maybe they deny that there's a problem. Maybe they listen but don't change. Maybe they get angry at you or shut you out. Or something else entirely. We want to help you make sure that your help is actually helpful. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kate, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota.
Hi, Kate. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I hope you can hear me. I'm a mom, and that's kind of what I am all the time in my mind and in my heart. And my son is 37, so he's not a young person. And
right.
I know that he drinks a bit and smokes cigarettes, but he seems very content and has friends. He's my only son. I wish he didn't drink and smoke. I approached him once and let him know my feelings, but he didn't really appreciate that, and I know that that's just part of his lifestyle, and I pray for him, and I...
Are you concerned that he's drinking to excess? I mean, when you say he drinks and smokes, like how does he drink exactly, and how are you seeing it as problematic?
I believe he's doing this at night in his home when he gets home from work, and it's just part of his life.
But I guess are you seeing it being problematic in some way? I mean, are we talking about, you know, he's having a drink when he gets home? Are we talking about he's drinking to get drunk? You know, it's causing problems in his relationships or his work or ability to function in some way?
He does work, and he works a lot. I believe it's just not a healthy decision with that much alcohol and cigarettes.
Well, when you say that much alcohol, that's what
we're trying to get to,
Kate. So talk to us about how bad this is and how it's affecting his life.
I would say 3 to 4 very strong drinks maybe a night.
Mm-hmm. And then is he single? Does he have a significant other? Does he have kids? Okay.
He's single, yeah.
But he's getting up, he's getting out in the morning, he's going to work, he's functioning.
He's very productive. Mm-hmm.
So what's your relationship like in general? I mean, do you guys talk regularly? Do you talk about lots of different things,
or just
mostly the weather?
I reach out quite a bit, and I reach out a lot, and we mostly text. I have him over once a month with a few other family members for a meal to make sure that I get to see him. He tells me he loves me, he's a wonderful son, but we never see each other.
Okay, so not a really close relationship at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, from what you're describing, it sounds like there could be some entry. I mean, he's single, he is working, but he, you're saying he's drinking, you know, for several strong drinks in the evening. The only way in with something like this is you got to do two things. One, you're probably going to have to make the relationship stronger and deeper than it currently is. I mean, this is one of the themes in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, that the rule of thumb here is that the relationship has to be deep enough to contain the conversations you want to have, right? So to go from, you know, talking about the weather or talking about, you know, the things that he did in his week or, you know, that kind of, you know, superficial stuff to a deeper conversation about, his concerns about life or the direction of his life or how he's living his life. That's a big jump. And so it tends not to go well when we try to move from that more superficial level of conversation to a deeper level of conversation without having done the work to make that relationship stronger and deeper. So I'm not sure if you have the opportunity to talk to him more often, to see him more often in some way. I would say that when it comes to that, you don't want to come across like, I want you to see me more. I want you to make room more for me in your life, but more, how can I be more of a support to you? You know, what are the things that you could do to, you know, that he would receive well, that he would experience as supportive from you? Because the more involved you can be on that level and then build the relationship up to the point where it makes sense to talk about these kinds of things, then it would be received better. The second thing that you want to do when you do approach this is not start with the behavior, but rather how you see the behavior affecting his life. That's why I started with that. You know, if you were able to say, hey, I see that you're not, that instead of dating, you're spending an awful lot of time isolating and kind of hiding out in your house. You know, I would really love for you to be able to have a strong, healthy relationship with somebody. What's going on? Or, you know, if you were able to say to him, you know, you lost your job because you were hungover, you know, and I'm concerned about how much you're drinking, right? You start with the problem and then work back to what you think the issue is. If you ever just start by saying to somebody, I think you smoke and drink too much, they're going to say, mind your own business.
Yeah, and if it has no effect that people can put a finger on to say, here's the evidence that I'm right about this, they're just not going, you're not going to get any buy-in because it's working for him, he thinks. Again, I think Greg has a real point with the idea that he's not going out and, you know, meeting anyone. He's staying home. He's having a few drinks. He goes to sleep. He gets back up in the morning. He's using it as a coping mechanism, but he's also using it perhaps as a way to hide out and not really meet someone and have a broader, richer life. So touching on those points may help, but you also really, Kate, go back to figure out ways to build this relationship, because when you have them over once a month with all the family members, that's not drawing you any closer together. You're all putting in your time. It's like stamping your you know, time card. Oh, we got together, we chatted about the weather, and we're done.
And I want to be clear, we're not putting that on you. I mean, I understand that might all he's open to.
Yeah. Right?
But and if that's the case, then that you're doing the best you can. But the point is that you know, we have to make sure that the relationship is deep enough to contain the conversations that we want to have. And the relationship that you describe is not deep enough to be able to confront him in an effective way. So you want to back up, work on deepening the relationship however you can, praying for those opportunities to spend more time with him or have more interactions with him in ways that he would experience as supportive and welcome. And then use that as an opportunity to discuss your concerns. But not directly in the sense of, you know, oh, well, I think you smoke and drink too much, but more, hey, I'm wondering about, you know, I would really love for you to be dating somebody. What's getting in the way there? Or I'd love, you know, I'd love to see you advancing in your work, but something's holding you back. What's going on? And so you're able to talk about that and then maybe get back to some of those personal habits that are getting in the way. Hopefully, Kate, that'll give you some direction. We do talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. It'll build on the themes we've talked about here, but the suggestions we've made on the call will get you started. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled A Little Help, as we talk about those struggles we have in trying to help someone that we care about, you know, especially when our efforts to help just aren't bearing the fruit that we wish they were. How do we make sure that our attempts to help are actually helpful? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores-Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing two of the most common traps that we fall into when we're trying to help people. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA. or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, A Little Help, as we talk about those times when we're struggling to help someone we care about, especially when our efforts haven't been bearing the fruit that we wish they were. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks for having me.
So you wanted to talk about the two big mistakes that we tend to fall into when we're trying to help other people. Where do we start?
Yeah, we're always trying to operate from a well-intentioned place, but the reality is that the human brain doesn't love nuance, right? We crave the simplicity of black and white. And because of that, we tend to fall into two pretty unhelpful extremes, unhelpful to the person, unhelpful to ourselves, when it comes to trying to be helpful. The first is that we often mislabel pure kind of enabling others as love. I'm trying to love you, but I'm actually just enabling you. And what that looks like is, letting you get away with whatever you want, sort of saying, oh, I would be selfish if I brought up this problem with your behavior, or I don't know what your intentions are, so I just have to let go what you're doing, even if what you're doing is actively self-sabotaging, or even if what you're doing is actively hurtful to me, I'm just going to keep my head down. And this take often comes with platitudes like, well, I'm just going to let God do his thing, or, I'm just going to let, God's will be done, which we obviously want God's will to be done, but this is sort of a cop-out version of that, right, where I'm not actually standing up for myself or standing up for the good of the other person because I just want to let it go. That's one extreme, all right? And it's not loving, right? It's actually honoring my own anxiety. It's honoring my own fear more than I'm honoring the good of the other person. Right. The other extreme looks like I am sort of brute forcing the other person to grow in the specific ways that I want to grow, want them to grow, or change in the specific ways I want them to change. And this will often come with the kind of opposite end of the spectrum platitudes like, I'm just giving you tough love, or, I'm just being honest. If you can't handle honesty, well, that's your problem. Right. These kinds of phrases. And this might seem like I'm not enabling, so does that mean I'm being loving? Well, no, because I'm not really taking the other person's dignity into account when I'm honoring, when I'm trying to help them. I'm not really honoring, who they are as a human being when I'm trying to, quote-unquote, help them. Again, instead I'm serving my own anxiety, my own fear. Well, how so? Well, because I'm afraid of what they're going to do if I don't stand up to them. I'm afraid of what they're going to do to me if I don't, yell at them or scold them. So I'm honoring my fear more than I'm honoring their dignity as a person. And because of this, with these two extremes, while they both say that they're about loving somebody, they're both actually just about loving my own fear more than I love the other person. But JP2, you know, he talks about a third option. He talks about every human being being created unique and unrepeatable. And I think that line really opens our eyes to what the third option is, which is trying to get to understand the unique goals, desires, dreams, and charisms of the person that we're speaking to, and appeal to those as the reason for why they might need to change their behavior, right? Being able to say, hey, I know you value being a good musician, for instance. So maybe you shouldn't sleep till noon. Maybe you should get up and practice because I know how much you love being a musician, right? Hey, I know that you want to be a good parent, so maybe you should be gentler to your kid. Hey, I know that you consider yourself a loving person, and I think you're a loving person, but when you speak to me blank way, it's not very loving, right? If I'm appealing to who this person uniquely wants to be, if I'm appealing to who this person was uniquely created to be by God, then I'm not actually serving my fear anymore. Now I'm actually serving who they authentically are, a unique and unrepeatable person.
Really good insights, and I think I really appreciate you presenting that third way forward. And in fact, that's what we're going to be unpacking for the rest of the program, really helping people identify that way to challenge others in a way that really resonates for them based on who they want to be. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to come on over to CatholicCounselors.com. Check out the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825.
Who may be baptized into the Catholic faith? The Catholic Catechism tells us that baptism may only be administered to a person who has never been previously baptized. When an adult is baptized, he undergoes a preparation for the sacrament called the catechumenate. The candidate for baptism is called a catechumen. The catechumen should be properly initiated into the mystery of salvation and the practice of the evangelical virtues. They should also be introduced into the life of faith, liturgy, and charity of the people of God by successive rites. Baptism of infants is, the Catechism says, an immemorial tradition of the Church. Church law urges that a child be baptized as soon after birth as possible, in order that the baby not be denied the priceless grace of becoming a child of God as soon as possible. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Did you know that up to 20% of Americans suffer from serious levels of anxiety? We all feel anxious from time to time, but when anxiety starts harming our health, relationships, or everyday activities, it's probably time to seek some advice. The good news is that anxiety wasn't part of God's blueprint for the human person. It's just one of many symptoms of a world broken by sin. And just as God wants to liberate each of us from sin and death, He wants to free each of us from unhealthy worry and anxiety too. St. Francis de Sales, for example, battled anxiety as a young man. Later in life, he wrote that, quote, "Anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin," unquote. But with God's help, he overcame his anxiety and went on to become one of the Church's greatest spiritual teachers. Even though anxiety disorders have complex physical, psychological, and spiritual causes, God literally created us with the capacity to live in His peace, not just in the next life, but right now. To learn more about God's promise of peace, check out my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And if you'd like more grace-filled assistance in your battle against fear, worry, or anxiety, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, A Little Help, as we talk about our struggle to sometimes help people that, you know, are really struggling in some way. And you know, what happens when we've tried to be helpful, but it hasn't been received well, or it's not producing any fruit, the person doesn't admit there's a problem, or maybe they listen but don't change, or get angry at us and shut us out. What do we do? Well, let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
That certainly can be anyone in your life. You know, I know that if I try to help a toddler put on their shoes, they can reject it pretty violently. Or the people that you're trying to get through their day, the kids that need help with their homework, but blame you that it actually is driving them crazy. Your older children who want to differentiate from you, but they need some help launching in life. Your parents, your loved ones, even people at work. Everybody, each and every one of us needs some kind of help, but we often fight back like no other. And if you're the person on the receiving end of them fighting back, we want to help you today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Valerie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kentucky.
Hi, Valerie. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you. I so enjoy your show.
Thank you so much.
The last caller just hit like an experience I've already been through. And with my son in particular, it helped. The indirect method, I would make him food, and I wish now, looking back, I'd done it more often, but I was suggesting that the caller with her son is drinking in the evening. Sounds like he's actually got himself a schedule and, you know, moving forward with life, but alcohol satisfies the blood sugar when you come home from work and there's nothing to eat, so I thought she might enjoy preparing meals and bringing them to him so he has food when he gets home, wherever he lives or his apartment. She could make some meals and leave them with him for the week. And that's it.
So tell me, you know, what with your own son, what fruit did that bear in your relationship with him?
Well, he even remembered his special, like, birthday cake he liked when he talked. So, and I could always, when he didn't have time for me, I could take him out to eat. Like, if I could say, hey, do you want to go to eat? We could go out to eat. Like, he always gets to eat.
And right, yep.
So then he was searching for that right woman, but obviously not. He was not really doing the bar scene, which sounds like her son is doing that. So I would just, you know, we'd more talk about if I knew somebody he'd maybe expressed an interest in before. And then the second thing, because he's, you know, you all had mentioned about him being in a relationship, and of course we all want our sons and daughters to get married and have grandkids, is that women, the moms, can actually talk among each other and help find him someone. And so there was a particular...
yeah.
And he would be more receptive to that because of the effort you were making in the other areas.
Yeah.
You know, this is actually a really great idea. And I don't know if the previous caller lives, you know, close to... Well, I guess they're close
they
enough.
They do enough see, since yeah, they get together once a month. So even at the once a month, she could send him home with, like, you know, a bunch of trays of food.
Bring things over. I mean, you know, it's... I think, you know, Valerie, your point is well taken. And it's one of the suggestions I was going to make, but I didn't have time to suggest it when we were on the call before. But yeah, exactly. You know... And just to reset for folks who maybe weren't listening earlier, you know, we had a caller who was saying that she's concerned about her son, but their relationship is relatively superficial, and she only really sees him once a month, and even then only with other family members at her house. And so she was wondering, you know, how could I talk to him about some of my concerns? And we were saying that one of the themes in our book, Having Meaningful Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, is that the relationship has to be deep enough to contain the conversation you want to have. So if your relationship is relatively superficial and you're just talking about, you know, current events or what he did this past week or whatever, you're not going to be able to have those deeper discussions about his goals, his life choices, you know, faith, values, those kinds of things. And so the first step to change, to work, you know, trying to have be a positive influence in an adult child's life is deepening the relationship. And Valerie's calling to not just suggest a way that this previous caller could do it, but to talk about how she was able to increase her influence in her son's life by regularly making him meals and taking him over.
Yeah, she's got some good Kentucky wisdom here. You know, getting to the heart of anybody through food is so important. I mean, Jesus did it all the time, right? You know, Zacchaeus, come on down from that tree. I'm going to your house to eat with you. You know, feeding the 5,000, making breakfast on the beach after he rose from the dead. All of these times where I'm going to bond with you through eating with you and having those discussions with you over food, or at least providing you with food. There is nothing like somebody who actually lets you know they're thinking about you by bringing you food or sending you food if you're far away. Thank goodness there's lots of ways to do that now. But when somebody's actually taken the time to cook for you or taken the time out of their schedule, as you said, Valerie, to take somebody out to eat and sit with you, it takes the relationship to a much bigger level of trust, because the person on the receiving end of that can really say, wow, they were really thinking about me. They cared about me. They're making my life a little bit easier, a little bit cozier. I trust this person because they're doing this for me. Even if they can, even if they're very well off and they can buy all their own food and do all those things. And we often, I know, you know, for Greg and I, one of our kids lives much closer to us than the others. And there are times where I could make them food, but they're so busy door dashing things that I often think, oh, I shouldn't have to do that. But how much better is a home cooked meal from mom than something just off of DoorDash, because that means that you care and you love and you're building that relationship with them.
Or, you know, inviting them out, you know, for dinner.
And so, taking
because then you
that
get the time for the conversation and really just you know, making that effort to take the relationship to a deeper place. So, yeah, you know, for
yeah, the only thing I'm going to jump in on and interrupt you about, don't take them out so you can lecture them.
Oh, gosh.
You know,
no.
Bringing them food says, here, I love you, and there's no lecture involved. Taking them out to eat should be the same thing. Just take them out, spend time with them. Don't lecture them about whatever you think the problem is.
Listen, ask questions and listen about, listen to them talking about their life in general. And really be willing to try to ask those questions that invite them to go deeper without making it feel like an interrogation. I mean, I realize there's a lot going on here. And if you're listening to this and thinking, well, but what about this situation? Or but I did try to do that and it blew up in my face.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Let's talk it out. We'll help you identify those next steps. 877-573-7825 is the number. Today's show titled A Little Help, as we talk about the struggle we all face in trying to help the people that we care about. We want to help you make sure your help is actually helpful. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We want to take a question here that came in from Coy, who's listening in Tennessee. He said he had a couple of Latter-day Saints stop by the other day. He invited them in. Things were cordial, but he said he felt that he could have presented the Catholic faith better, how to better handle these situations in the future. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the ways we want to try to help other people is by sharing our faith with them. And sometimes, you know, we don't feel that we did as good a job as we would have liked, or they don't receive it as well as we would have liked them to receive it. And we can come away from those experiences beating up on ourselves or whatever. I think the most important thing we can do is not so much focus on how could I do a better job changing other people, but how is God calling me to deepen my relationship with him through that interaction with another person? Right? So were there certain questions, Coy, that the LDS missionaries, you know, asked you that you weren't sure how to respond to well, that maybe touch on your own life and your relationship with God? You know, look into that and really go do a deeper dive, not just on the subject, but on praying through that with God. You know, Lord, help me to know, you know, how to think about this in a way that would really lead me closer to you, so that you're not just, I mean, yes, I mean, ultimately, when you learn all that stuff, you're going to be better at communicating it to others. But the real, I think, takeaway from this is that God speaks to us through these exchanges.
That's the Holy Spirit tapping on your shoulder going, there's a little bit of a crack here I want to be able to fill up for you in terms of your knowledge and in terms of your experience of me.
Well, exactly. And not just in terms of I want to fill your head with facts, but I want to draw closer to you. You know, and here's a way that we can do that, you know, by you learning more about this and not just learning, but praying through it and asking me, you know, the God, to help you understand how this is relevant for your life and how this could deepen our relationship. And the more we're able to kind of take away from those experiences how God is calling to us to enter into deeper communion with him, I think the more effective we can also be at sharing our faith with others.
Now, of course, what you had in this situation that made it rougher, Coy, to be able to represent the faith well, is that you, as soon as you invited them in, unintentionally, you had two entities, you and them, making the other person a project. You know, they came very, very honestly in saying, hey, we're from the Latter-day Saints Church. We want to talk to you about our faith. Their project, knocking on your door, was to convert you to their faith. Your invitation for them to come in, while it was very loving and caring to say, hey, I want to talk to these people. I want to make them feel welcome in my home. I want to share my faith with them. Also immediately turned them into a project because you didn't want to accept their faith, you wanted to explain yours. So in that situation, you got to do what Greg is saying. What is the Lord trying to tell me about my faith? How can I deepen my faith and go into a better understanding of it? But just know that when you're going into a situation where two people are just each other's project, you're not going to find a whole lot of deep meaning in that situation unless one of you decides, you know, I'm not really that into my faith, so teach me yours. That's a different situation entirely.
Coy, thanks for the call. Here's more we can do to support you. Don't hesitate to reach out. And of course, Catholic Answers is a great resource on EWTN for going deeper, as well as Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, who, frankly, is a personal hero of mine.
Yeah,
a genius.
Brilliant. So, absolute genius. So, yes, if you have those questions of how to really say, these were the questions or the things they said to me that I didn't really know how to answer well, give those shows a call. You will learn so, so much. It will be so helpful.
Well, we have to head out to a break, but as we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 15, verse 1.
We who are strong ought to be patient with the failings of the weak. We must work for their good and build them up.
You know, again, just a reminder here that when we're trying to help others, we want to start with the charity and compassion and real understanding for the struggles that they're facing, but then base what we say and do on what we see actually producing real fruit in their lives, not just falling into the trap of doing and saying things to make ourselves feel like we did or said something. You know, that real refocus you know, that we've been talking about through the whole program on what's actually going to work for this other person's good and build them up, as opposed to just making myself feel like I did something. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled A Little Help, as we talk about the struggle we face in helping the people that we care about. You know, if you are trying to help someone, but it's just not bearing the fruit you wish it was, maybe because they're denying there's a problem, or they listen but don't change, or they get angry at you or shut you out, we want to help you make sure that your help is actually helpful. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, A Little Help? As we talk about struggling to help the people that we care about, you know, sometimes we try to help them and it just blows up in our face. They deny there's a problem. Maybe they listen but don't change, or they get angry and shut us out. How can we make sure that the help we're trying to offer is actually helpful? Well, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hi, John. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes, thank you. You know, my wife has Parkinson's. She is going to retire. She's a physician, and I sort of expect that she's very much aware of, and she is, she's very much aware of her condition. But I have difficulty in being the coach sometimes to help with a little bit of an initiative and energy to do certain things that would help her in terms of therapy or coming up with planning for, you know, the day. And it's, and I know for her there's a lot of energy that's required, but also, you know, there's this balance of pushing and, you know, of trying to force an agenda and being patient and letting certain things, letting her to decide.
So, John, let me ask you this. I mean, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that you've got a really good heart and you want the best for your wife, but that what's happening is that you're coming up with ideas of things that she should do to try to, you know, get therapy for her illness, work on different treatment programs and that sort of thing, and or even just a plan for the day. You're coming up with ideas that you think would be good for her to do. And I'm wondering, Do you?
Well,
how much time are you spending talking?
Personality. She has a quiet personality and very much independent, and also doesn't want to necessarily want anybody to, you know, fuss over her. So it's
she's been a successful physician for all these years. Very, as you said, very independent.
Yeah. But what I'm asking is how have you had conversations with her about what she wants to do? Like, have you been able to draw her out about her own plans or thoughts?
Yeah. Well, that's really, I didn't phrase it the right way. It's actually me listening to her and reflecting it back, but I probably don't, you know, do it in what you would say a clinical way. But I do, you know, that my focus is on her, how it suits her. But basically, like, I'm an advocate. It doesn't necessarily necessarily have that kind of a discipline, if that makes sense.
So does she get upset with you or just not follow through? Okay, what's the problem that you're trying to address here?
Yeah, I think it's the follow through. It's the follow through. It's the perhaps a little bit of denial. And so I have that balance of do I, you know, not do anything or do I do something or, you know.
Sure.
And you can say, well, what do I do? Well, it's more, you know, there's this balance to move forward for what you need.
Sure. And I mean, that's in any marriage, but under these circumstances, it gets elevated. So, John, when you have one of these conversations with her, let's go back to what you were saying about even the day, right? If you talk to her the night before and say, hey, what does the day need to look like tomorrow? What do you need? What things should you be doing? Do you guys actually write that down in the midst of the conversation?
The response is, I don't know. Or,
okay, so she doesn't know what to do. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let me throw this out. All right. So what you want to do is kind of say, you know, you've said to me that you'd like to do A, B, or C, or based on things that I've seen, you know, from
that your doctor's recommended or whatever
that
is.
You want to be doing or need to be doing A, B, and C, but it seems like you're really having a hard time following through. Can I be helpful to you in some way, or do you need some time to kind of figure this out for yourself? Now, that's scary because we love that person and, you know, we want them to be active in addressing their illness and their symptoms, but sometimes they're not in a place where they're quite ready to do it, and the more we push, the more they just drag their feet. And so putting it out there and saying, look, I see that you want to do X, or, you know, I know that you've been told that it would be good to do X, but you seem to have a really hard time following through on that. Would you like to talk about how I could be helpful to you in some way, or do you just need some space to figure this out for yourself? Because that then clarifies what she wants from you and what would be actually helpful. Because if she says, you know, I really need some time to sort this out for myself, that doesn't mean you can't bring it back up again at some point, especially if you see that she's struggling in some new ways.
You could even set a limit and say, hey, great, take the week to really think about how I can be helpful and what kinds of things we need to put into place for next week. Just think about next week, and we'll talk about it on Friday. You know, so you're letting her know, I'm giving you some space here. I'm also going to be here to keep supporting you in the ways you need, but we have to check in with each other so it doesn't just drift away.
But then at least you know what she's asking for. Now, when you're going through a difficult transition, you know, when you've been a strong, independent person for a long time and you're suddenly faced with a chronic illness that is affecting your mobility and your ability, it could be really helpful for the two of you to get some counseling support in trying to figure out how to have conversations about this, how you can raise this with her in ways that she'd be receptive to.
How to help her not slide into depression about it, because it's very easy for that to roll in under all the physical symptoms. That can even be what's shutting her down and saying, I just don't know, because she's kind of overwhelmed by everything and possibly feeling a sense of depression and ineffectiveness.
Because it might be a little more difficult for you to push her on that, but you know, if you guys were in with a counselor, the counselor could say, well, what would it take for you to know? What kind of information do you need to get in order to know? What would that look like? Or
let's come up with a plan for your everyday, and that's something that professional would come up with, and then you could hold her to that standard because it's written down for you.
Well, plus, you know, just helping her overcome the fear of facing all of this.
Both
right?
of you. You're both terrified, I'm sure.
So that would be, you know, so start by having the conversations that we're suggesting here. In fact, you know, you might even download the podcast, this program, and play the call. And, you know, just talk about how it, you know, really makes you both feel to have to be dealing with this, and for you to feel powerless in helping her, and her to feel powerless with the illness, and how the two of you could really go draw closer together through it all. But, you know, if you try to have the conversations that we're suggesting here in the way that we're suggesting, and it's not working out, then it might be time to seek some help, just some, you know, some good pastoral counseling support to overcome the fears that you're both facing in all of this, and really talk about how to come together through it. And if you'd like to learn more about how we could be helpful there in faithful ways, you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But start with the suggestions that we're making here on the call, and really frame it more in terms of what do you need from me? How can I be helpful? And if she says, I don't know, press back a little bit and say, well, how could we figure that out? do we need to talk to somebody? Do we need to, you know, get more information about the progress of the, what, because I don't want to be shut out, and I feel a little shut out in all of this. All right. John, thank you so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are trying to help someone that you care about, and it's just not landing well, and you're not sure what else to do, let's talk it out at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life, in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you, because remember, with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.